In the first reading today, Saint James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, obviously, anything and everything God does is perfect, because God is perfect and there is nothing that he can do that is less than that. But when we're talking about a perfect gift, because there is only one who is perfect, that gift can be only God himself. And so we look at it and recognize that this applies then in two ways. Jesus came down from above. He is the perfect gift from the Father. And then, as we heard in the gospel reading, Jesus said, "It is more expedient for you that I depart, because if I don't, the Paraclete cannot come." And so we've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts, the perfect gift from above. And the Holy Spirit, we are told, is the Spirit of truth. He is also obviously the Spirit of love, but he's going to lead us into all truth. So the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit being given to us is so that we can grow in truth and in charity. That's the whole point. And we look over the 2,000-year history of the church, and we see as the development of dogma takes place, and we are able to have things presented to us today with a deeper understanding than what they had many years ago. The truths were there, but were they fully understood? For instance, you can look in the early church. They knew that God was a Trinity. They knew that Jesus was God, but the theology hadn't been worked out. And it didn't need to be worked out until somebody came along who denied it. And then the church had to be able to explain how one God can be three persons. How can something be three in one? This doesn't make any sense on the natural level. How can Jesus be God? Because what we saw was somebody who is human. And so how can we say that he is God? How do we understand that? And so the church over the years was able, through prayer and through discernment, to be able to work out all of that theology. We've simply inherited it. We didn't have to live in those tumultuous times to be able to know how all of that came about. The same was true with the Trinity. How are we going to explain all that? Well, God raised up people to do that, and we've inherited all of that. We don't believe anything differently than what they believed in the early church, but the theology has worked out. We have been led further and further into the truth, into the depth of that truth, and that continues to work its way out today. So we have our own tumultuous times that we're living in. Well, tumultuous is a rather kind way of presenting what's going on today. It's horrible out there. You look at what's going on in society, and it's awful. It's neo-paganism. It's an outright rejection of the truth. And that's what we're living in. And if that's the case, being that the truth is already there, what we then need is that outpouring of the Holy Spirit to lead us individually deeper and deeper into the truth. And if we're going to go deeper and deeper into the truth, then we remember what our Lord told us. "I am the truth," he said. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so the Holy Spirit, as our Lord said, he isn't going to simply do things on his own authority, but he said, "He will glorify me because he will receive of what is mine and he will declare it to you." So he's not operating on his own authority because he is God. All three of them work together. But his purpose then is to lead us deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery and the person of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. So Jesus tells us that he's going to do those things, but he's going to do more. He said that he's going to convict the world, he said, of three things: of sin, of justice, and of judgment. He said of sin because they don't believe in me. It's like, what's that have to do with anything? Well, everything. Ask yourself, how are our sins forgiven? Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus isn't God, then our sins aren't forgiven. So if he is not fully God and fully man, we can't be forgiven. So if someone is going to reject Jesus, they cannot have their sins forgiven. So when he says that the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus, that's what it's all about. If they don't believe in him, then there can be no forgiveness of sin. So that's where then, individually, we have to look at that and say, if I believe in Jesus, then I can avail myself of the sacraments to have my sins forgiven. Because there is only one way to have our sins forgiven. The Lord goes on to say that he's going to convict the world of justice because I go to the Father and you see me no more. It's like, once again, what's that have to do with justice? It has to do with the fact that in rejecting Jesus, in calling him a blasphemer, in rejecting his claim that he is God, they did what was the single most unjust act in human history, and Jesus himself is exonerated in the resurrection and ultimately then in his ascension and glorification. And so therefore, true justice is done. The injustice that human beings perpetrated against God has now been overcome by God with a perfect act of justice. So we see once again that principle that we have talked about so frequently, how things on the spiritual level are usually exactly the opposite of what they are on the natural level. So what we would look at on one hand, just as we can say, for instance, well, as our Lord said, that God would save him from death. It's like, God didn't save him from death. He let him be crucified. What do you mean God would save him from death? He destroyed death so that he could save us from death. So we would look at it on the natural level and say, well, if God's going to save him from death, that means he doesn't have to die. That's not what it meant. We look at it spiritually and we recognize, no, he had to enter into death in order to destroy it. So now we look at this and we say, a grave injustice was done in order that justice could come about. It doesn't make sense on the natural level. In fact, it can only make sense if we see it spiritually. Because how can we say that this is how God is going to work? It becomes very important because it's the way he continues to work in our lives. We don't understand it. We get frustrated. We get upset. He didn't do what I wanted. He didn't answer my prayer. I was expecting this. I was asking for that, and it didn't happen the way that I thought it should. And people get very upset because they're asking for good and reasonable things. I mean, if you're asking for something stupid, yeah, of course God's not going to answer that. But it's like, yeah, but I'm not. I'm asking for something good, and it still didn't get answered. How come? Because he's going to bring about something greater. Not because your prayer was bad, but maybe because it wasn't perfect. Because there is something greater that we're not even aware of that God wants to do. And as we saw earlier, since God can only give what is perfect, he is not going to give simply what is good. He's going to give the best. He is going to give what's most perfect. That's not always what we want, and we all know that. Because we look at the crucifix, and on the natural level, you say, how can that be perfect? How can that be the best? Well, because we have 2,000 years of saints teaching us, we can look at that and we can understand, yeah, that is perfect. Yeah, that is the best. But on the natural level, it certainly doesn't look that way. So again, these things we have to be able to see in a spiritual way. And our Lord goes on to say that he is going to convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged. And so again, we have those two points of judgment. Satan was judged when he rejected God. You go back to Genesis, in the very first day of creation, we see darkness and light. What is that? It's the creation of the angels. And it's the test of the angels. Those who said yes to God would enter into light. Those who said no to God would choose the darkness. The judgment has already been made. It was made even before God began material creation, because he created the angels outside of time. And now, in their choice, remember, an angel cannot change his mind. He makes his decision with his entire being. And so once that decision was made, judgment was rendered. We can look at the book of Revelation. We hear about the battle between St. Michael and Satan and so on. And that looks like, from the book of Revelation, it's somewhere up the future. No, it's before any of the rest of creation even began. So the first thing that God created was the angels, and then they had to be tested before they could get into heaven. So they weren't created in heaven, they were created outside of heaven, but then they had to be tested. So that judgment has already taken place. But a second judgment took place, the one we've already talked about. Humanity made a judgment on God and put him to death. Humanity decided that God, in whose image and likeness we are all created, shouldn't live, that we don't want him. Now, because 2,000 years ago they could actually hang him on the cross, they did. Today, because he's not physically present among us, they can't crucify him, but I can tell you what, I think they would if they had an opportunity. So instead, they just reject him. They don't want anything to do with him. And so we have these two judgments. There is a judgment of Satan, who is the prince of this world, and we have the judgment of Jesus, who came into this world and was condemned. And now you and I then have a choice to make. Which judgment do we want to enter into? Because they're the only two. So one is the prince of this world, and one is the prince of the whole universe. Which do we want? That's what our Lord is pointing out to us. This is what the Holy Spirit is given to lead us to. Now, obviously, we have a free will. We can reject the grace of God. We can reject the truth. We can reject the movement of the Holy Spirit. Look around the world. How many people who are baptized are saying no to God? So God's not going to force them. Just because they're given the Holy Spirit doesn't mean automatically that they're going to choose what's right and they're going to go to heaven. And we know if we commit a mortal sin, that we kick God right out. So as long as we are in the state of grace, then God dwells within us. And if he is there and his grace is at work within us, then it begins to form our minds to the truth. And it begins to conform our will to his charity. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. Now, we would like it if he just did it instantaneously. I mean, come on, make me a saint now. Well, that'd be nice, but unless you're martyred, it doesn't usually happen that way. because we have to grow in holiness. And for most of us, if God took us from where we are today and just flipped us to what these very, very holy, saintly people are like, we wouldn't know how to handle it. And so he very gently moves us along as much as we're able to handle. The grace is there for us to be able to say yes and keep taking those steps to keep moving along, but we have to make the choice. He's not going to force us. And even if you say, make me a saint, well, then we have to really intend it. Remember, St. Thomas Aquinas' sister asked him that question. What's the easiest way to become a saint, or the quickest way to become a saint? And he said, will it. Just that simple, will it. We have to choose it. We have to use our will to say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to reject everything that's leading me away from God, and I'm going to choose those things that are going to lead me to God. And that's what I'm going to live with my whole heart and soul and strength. Well, yeah, that's the easiest, quickest way. Good luck. That's like going up a straight face, you know, to be able to say, what's the quickest way to get to the top of this mountain? I'll go up the cliff. Well, humanly, we can't usually do that. We're going to have to find another path that's going to make its way up to the top. So God will work with each one of us according to our own personality, according to our own strengths and weaknesses, according to our own circumstances and situations in life. But if we're willing to say yes to him, then he's going to continue to lead us along, to lead us deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery of Jesus, who is the truth, deeper and deeper into the mystery of the love of God, which is taking place right in our own soul. Think about that. If the Holy Trinity is dwelling in you, that is, if you're in the state of grace, then he is dwelling in you. That means the three persons of the Trinity are loving one another and loving you right in the depth of your own soul. And it also means that the two hearts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, are loving one another in your soul. That's all happening, and we don't even know it. We're so clueless sometimes that we have no idea that this is even happening within us. That's the mystery into which God wants to lead us, deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what the Holy Spirit is given to do. And so the beauty is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was physically with them. And he said, it's more expedient that I go, because otherwise the Paraclete can't come. How wonderful it was for the apostles to have our Lord right there. How much greater for us. He's right here. He's not at an arm's distance. He's not physically there. He's within. This is far, far greater. But in our humanness, we like something that we can see and that we can touch and so on. But he's far closer to us than he was to them, which is why he said it's more expedient that he goes. So we have been given the perfect gift. We've been given everything, literally, because St. Paul says God is all in all. And he dwells in us. So the perfect gift, God himself, has been given to us for the purpose of ultimately making us saints, to bring us into the truth, to bring us into love, and to actually to conform us to that, to become more and more united to the truth and the love who is God himself, so that we can truly be his children, so that we can be the saints that he's calling us to be, so that this gift which he has given to us can reach its perfection in us, so that we can reach the perfection to which God is calling us, and be prepared then to enter into the fullness of life. So look at what God has done. We can't enter into him just yet. So in his love, he's entered into us. And if we can work with that and perfect it, then what's going to happen? Then we can enter into him, and that's where we will be for the rest of eternity, right there in the heart of the Holy Trinity.